Confirmed, COVID-19 concerns are driving a lot of people to sign up for unemployment benefits. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In an early statistical snapshot on the coronavirus effect on layoffs in America, many more people than expected signed up for unemployment benefits last week. There were 281,000 more people, a rise of 33% in a week. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton in Chicago. Hey, Diane.
Good morning.
Just doing the math, it looks like a 33% spike in initial claims for unemployment benefits week March 8th through 14th. I don't know if I've ever seen any spike like that before.
Only during a natural disaster like Hurricane Harvey, where you see 1 week spike where people are displaced out of work and then return the next week. This is something very different. We've never seen a spike like this due to purely economic reasons. It's the fastest pace of job losses, and this is the tip of the iceberg. We'll be seeing several hundreds of thousands of unemployment claims going up in the next couple of weeks.
So we have government officials working, it sounds like, feverishly to get money out to human beings and businesses. Do you think it would help if and when we get to the other side of this to actually bring those people rapidly back to work?
It is really important. We need the fiscal stopgap measures. So on the other side of it, we actually could also see a precipitous drop in unemployment claims as people return to work and the economy ramps up again. That's the goal, is to get through the health crisis and not have it be permanent damage to the U.S. economy so that people don't lose both their health and their economic fortunes.
Indeed. Diane Swonk, economist at Grant Thornton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
With the Federal Reserve and the European Central Banks trying to keep credit flowing to markets and businesses, stock markets have yet to find much of a toehold this morning. In early trading, the Dow is down 519 points, 2.6%. The S&P 500 is down 2.1%. The Nasdaq Composite Index is down 0.6%. The 10-year yield is down at 1.13%, a sign that bond markets are calmer with interest rates down a bit. Crude oil, after dropping 24% for a time yesterday, is up 7.4% now. Gold is down slightly, $1,474 an ounce. So there's that. More industries are buckling under the economic strain of the coronavirus. In Detroit, the big three automakers say after today's evening shift wraps up, they're shutting down factories until at least March the 30th. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is here with some details.
David, this covers Ford, General Motors, and Fiat Chrysler plants all through North America. The United Auto Workers Unions had been calling for a production halt. Here's Michelle Krebs at Cox Automotive.
It was clear that there was a lot of fear among the employees at some of the plants where there had actually been employees that tested positive for the virus, but also, indeed, sales are falling off.
So, Kimberly, safety concerns and the fact that people may not be in the mood or be able to have access to the credit to buy a car during a pandemic.
Right. Automakers in Europe have already shut down factories, and foreign car makers in the U.S. are also closing for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. Toyota, for example, says it's shutting down for a bit for a deep clean and to help employees adjust to the school shutdowns and the other changes that we're all experiencing.
Okay, temporary closures, then what? Are these factories going to go back online a couple weeks maybe?
Well, to stick with the Toyota example, the company says it plans to resume production after the 2 days off, but that slowing demand is going to make it tough for all of these companies. Although American automakers are in talks with the government to possibly retool some plants to make medical equipment like badly needed ventilators.
Kimberly, thanks. There's news the feds are suspending evictions and foreclosures for people in federal housing projects and for homeowners with mortgages backed by the Federal Housing Administration, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac. And a growing number of cities and states are also putting temporary holds on evictions. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
As dramatic as the last week has been, the country's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, warns.
Things will get worse than they are right now.
He means health-wise, but that's also true economically, which is why the Trump administration just announced it is suspending evictions and foreclosures for people living in public housing and for anyone with a single-family mortgage backed by the FHA, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac.
There are so many people who are already losing their jobs, so many people who are living paycheck to paycheck.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed was one of the first to enact a citywide moratorium on evictions late last week.
With the coronavirus, we know that there are going to be a number of people who may not be able to pay their rent. And so it was important to make sure that as we're dealing with this, that we don't make our homeless challenge worse than what it is now.
A growing number of cities and states have since enacted similar measures, including Los Angeles, Seattle, Kentucky, and New York. Diane Yentel is president and CEO of the National Low Income Housing Coalition.
The very least that policymakers can do during a national health emergency is make sure that more people aren't pushed into homelessness through evictions or foreclosures.
Like so much these days, Yentel says this is both an economic and a public health issue.
It's never been more obvious than it is right now that housing is health care. And if people are not housed, they lose the ability to protect themselves and their community from getting sick.
There have been mixed responses to the moratoriums from landlord groups. One in New York, the Community Housing Improvement Program, said in a statement that if lawmakers, quote, choose to enact moratoriums, we hope they will include appropriate compensation to building owners to cover financial losses. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Among the tools we're offering for people adapting to the changes caused by this virus, Marketplace's Make Me Smart podcast this week looks at what happens to students during school closures and how the closures have wider economic effects. You can subscribe free to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.